so numb now that the fire's just a member way down in the corner of my cold, cold heart. Lord, this time I'll make it right. Here at the altar I lay my life. Your kingdom come, but my will was done. My heart is broken as I cry, like so many times before, but my eyes dry before I leave the floor. Oh Lord, I try. This time, Jesus, how can I be sure I will not lose through between the altar and the door? Here at the altar, oh, my world so black and white, how could I ever falter? What you showed me to be right. But my will was done. My heart is broken as I cry, like so many times before. But my eyes dry before I leave the floor. Oh Lord, I cry. This time, Jesus, how can I be sure? Stop trying so hard. Just let you be who you are. Lord, who you are in me. Jesus, I'm trying so hard to stop trying so hard. Just let you be who you are. Lord, who you are in me.
We praise you this morning because you live. You defeated death, hell, and the grave. It could not hold you. Your amazing love is what brings us here this morning. Thank you for the power to change our lives. Thank you for the power to mend our broken hearts. We love you and we thank you for your grace, your mercy, for your righteousness and your holiness. Lord, you are making us into who we are to be. Thank you, Lord. Give us strength to go from the altar to the door, to believe that you live. We glorify your name and we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. you take your Bibles, find the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're a guest of ours today, we are in the middle of a series of messages that's geared around the question, is your family on the rock or the rocks? Please know that what we're going to share today is built on some messages we've already preached. I ask you, not only as a guest, but those of you who listen to us regularly here at Hardin, always keep what we say in the context of not only what we're saying, but what we've already been saying about a certain subject, so that you'll know where Brother Ricky is and what he believes the Bible teaches and what Hardin teaches about the husband-wife relationship and how God's ordained the family. We make CDs available of the previous sermons that you can get free of charge. We encourage you to get those. This morning, as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to be talking about a part of the family that hardly anyone's talking about today. Hardly anyone is sharing what the Bible says concerning this part of the family, and therefore we are primarily hearing what the world says. This morning we're going to talk about being part of the family and still being single, not in a husband-wife relationship when we are old enough to be in. If you're here this morning and you're a couple and you're thinking, man, this is the Sunday I should have missed. No. Every one of us here as part of the larger family needs to hear what the Bible says about being single, because part of the harm to singles is being done by those of us who are in marriage and believing everyone should have what we have. And therefore, many of us are basing advice not on what Scripture clearly reveals, and we're leading singles astray if we're not careful. 1 Corinthians 7, open your Bibles. We're going to read selected passages because this is a chapter that deals with marriage and not being married. We're only going to address the part of this that's talking about being unmarried. You read the rest of the chapter when you get home. In verse 6, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 7, "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion." Now go over to verse 17. "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him." Now go down to verse 24. "So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." Now go down to verse 32. "I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Salisa tells me that I am not enjoyable to watch TV with. When we sit down to watch television or to watch a movie, she is constantly trying to wrestle the remote out of my hand. She's constantly complaining about my need to see what I'm not watching so that I can know what I'm missing. She accuses me of constantly wanting to change the channel. When we're watching a movie, it's a little better, but I always have the remote close by. You never know when you might need to pause the movie. You never know when you're watching the movie and you're not fully getting what's going on, and you know you must have missed something in the beginning, so you love to have that rewind button so you can rewind the movie and go back and see what happened in the past that's influencing what's going on right now, because in all reality, you're not getting it. And then there's those times during the movie that, you know, it's just not good. Praise the Lord for a remote. You don't even have to get out of your chair. You can just hit the fast forward button and you can fast forward to the movie and see how this thing's gonna end. After studying for some time to address you as a single Christian, in the context of the larger theme of marriage and family, I wrestled with what to call this message. I first thought about calling it Living Single in a Couple's World. But early this morning, I decided, after much meditation last night, to entitle my talk with you from the Bible this way. This is to Christian singles. Sleeping Single in a Double Bed. Why? Because after studying Scripture, I'm here to say to you this morning, as a married man, that if you're still single, it's okay to be single. I'm here to give you this advice. You don't have to sleep in a twin bed forever. In your apartment right now, you can go back to your apartment this week and throw the twin bed away and get you a double bed, even though you have no plans for marriage, because it's okay to sleep single in a double bed. And here would be my advice to you as a single. Take your hand off the remote of your life. And let God push the play button. And as a single Christian, you let your life play out as God has designed your life. Society has caused Christian singles to believe they must push the pause button, and right now they're just living in between their past and their future, and that their present is not okay. And I'm here to tell you, as a single, you've been taught wrong. You don't have to believe that there's something wrong right now in your life and it's a result of something that's happened in your past, and therefore you're always playing the rewind button. And neither do you have to buy into the fact that the life you're now living is not fully acceptable, because you are not married yet, therefore you're living in that state where your hand's on the fast forward button and you're waiting to get married. Here would be my advice to you as your pastor. You ready for this? I ask you married couples, I ask you parents, I ask you grandparents to hear this too. I ask the church in its entirety to hear this. As a Christian single, live where you are with who you are for Christ. I'm going to let that sink in. After studying carefully 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe that a Christian single should live where they are with who they are for Christ. Singles, it's okay to be single. Now, I know what you're thinking, Brother Ricky, you're teasing. You're kidding. It's not okay. Yes, it is. I know you're trying to live single in a couple's world. And I know that everything about the church and everything about our culture points toward you one day being a couple with someone. But I'm telling you right now today in your life, it's okay for you to remain where you are and live where you are. In Singleville. Singleville is not a substandard subdivision on the other side of the track of town. You are not living on the wrong side of the track if you're a single. You listening to me? I'm going to ask you for a little while to get your mind off the other side of town and believing with all of your heart that one day you're supposed to live on the other side of track in Marriageville. I want to say to you, enjoy where you're at right now in Singleville. And if you would take down the for sale sign of your property and let word out, you're not going to let anybody tell you you're living on the wrong side of town. You're going to enjoy where you are right now being single. Why? Because the Bible never makes singlehood inferior to being married. As a matter of fact, if you study the Apostle Paul carefully, he says he wished everyone would be like he is, single. Now, how could he say that? Well, he gives single people some advice. Don't you singles to listen to this. He says, I want you to stay where you are, because what I'm really trying to save you from is trouble. Have you been sitting in the congregation the last few weeks as a single person? If you have, you should have got this opinion. Whoa, it's really hard being a husband. It's really tough to be a wife. And it is it not? And what the Apostle Paul is saying is this: I want to save you from a lot of misery and a lot of trouble, and I just want to keep you away from this thing called marriage. That's encouraging, amen? But it's the truth, is it not? Marriage is a pain sometimes. Come on, be honest. It is. Because you know what happens when you get married? All of a sudden, you got to think about worldly things. You got to think about your wife. You got to think about your husband. That takes a lot of time out of your day. Throw kids into the picture as they come along later, and wow! Time you do everything in a marriage for your spouse and for your children, you don't have any time left. If you do have any time left, by the time you've done everything with them, you're so tired you don't even do what you don't want to do, what you really want to do. All you want to do is go to bed. Am I right? Why? Because marriage is hard. It's tough. And Paul says, if you stay single, you are free from that. Singles, listen to me. It would be better for you to be sitting here as a single wishing you were married than be sitting here married wishing you were single. Problem with a lot of our marriages here today is this: we got married people wishing they were single. We got married people living like they were single, and it's causing a breakdown in our families and in our homes. The Apostle Paul is trying to say to you, as a single man, as a single woman, you are free from that, and you can focus totally on one thing, and that's pleasing the Lord. See, if you're not careful as a single, you'll make this mistake. You'll be sitting here believing this: marriage will solve my problems. No. Marriage will only multiply your problems. Listen to me. You think you would trade places with a lot of people in this church, and there are some people that you might come out ahead, but I'm telling you, there are some ladies sitting here this morning, and they're grinning on the outside because they're at church, but on the inside, they're living a miserable life. They started out looking for Mr. Right and found out they married Mr. All Right. Is that not true? Don't say amen. You'll give it away. The reason we've got so many miserable wives today is because in all reality, the husband's not the problem. The problem was you responding with a yes to your husband, and you married Mr. Just Okay. And you thought Mr. Just Okay would solve your problems when you were single, and what you have discovered is no. Marriage does not solve the problem of single. And until you learn to live where you are and be satisfied where you are, living a life that pleases the Lord, you will never be ready to move across town. If you ever decide to move across town, and let me say this to you as a single, you've got a freedom a married couple does not have. See, if you're sitting here this morning as a Christian single, you are free at any moment that you want to put the for sale sign up and move across town into Marriageville. You can do that any moment you want to. But once you move from Singleville to Marriageville, you can never put a for sale sign up and move back by your own choice from Marriageville back to Singleville. You never can. Once you move into Marriageville, you are bound by God to stay in Marriageville unless something happens to you that's outside of your choice, and that's either death or divorce. Death, because your spouse dies and you lay him or her in the arm of God. Divorce. Scripture gives two biblical reasons for divorce and remarriage. One, if your spouse commits adultery against you, or as an unbeliever, you become a believer and your unbelieving husband decides because of your commitment to Christ, he does not want to live with you anymore. You cannot divorce him, but if he divorces you or she divorces you, you are free, Paul says. And can I just be brutally honest with you as a single this morning? And nobody would ever tell you this, but I'm telling you, there have been many times in many marriages where we've got a man or a woman who really wishes their spouse was dead so they'd be free to be single again. And as much as I hate to say this, I have counseled couples where men and women have said to me, "I just wish he would have an affair on me so I could get out of this." Singles, don't you let anybody tell you the answer to your problems is on the other side of town. Right now, you live where you are and, listen to this, live with who you are. This is the key. Yes, if you are not married, you will find yourselves many times in the physical state of aloneness, but you don't ever have to be in the emotional state of loneliness. You guess that? Lonely is an emotional state. Aloneness is a physical state. I can be alone and not be lonely, but I can be in the presence of people and still be lonely. Does that make sense? People around you will never solve your problems. Loneliness comes from inner emptiness. And what God desires for you as a single is not inner emptiness, not loneliness, but solitude. Solitude is when I have an inner fulfillment, when I can be me by myself with no one around, because I'm never really by myself as a Christian, because my Father, my Christ, is always with me. Amen? And in solitude, I learn to rest from activity, because I'm trying to escape being lonely, and I learn to be intimate with the one who loves me more than any, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? And if I will learn intimacy with my Savior, it will lead me, if I ever do move across town, to understand how to have intimacy with my spouse. The reason some of us do not have intimacy with our spouse in marriage is because we don't know how to have intimacy with Christ, the lover of our soul. So I've got to live where I am with who I am. Now, I want to say something to us as the church. We've contributed to the problem, and we didn't know it. Because we take the Bible story of Adam and how he was alone, and God made a wife for him, and they come together to be one. A man and a woman becoming one. And we almost teach singles that they ought to live their life looking for someone to complete them, and without someone, they're not complete. Is that not right? But what we forget is when God adds, He takes one and one, and it equals one when it's marriage. Amen? One plus one equals what? One. I can never in the natural realm take one and add one to it and come up with one. I never can. So if I'm going to get one, the only way I can do that in the natural realm is to add two numbers that are fractions. So to get one, I can take a half, add a half to it, and what do I get? I get one. And you know what we've done subtly in the church? You know what we've done as parents? You know what we've done as grandparents? We've taught our children that they are a half, and they need to find a half, and if they a half and another half come together, together they can be one. And you know what we teach a person who's single to do? To feel like they're a fraction. To feel like they're a whole, not a whole person. And I'm telling you, without us meaning to, we've made singles feel like there's something wrong with them. I can't tell you how many times singles have said to me, "Something must be wrong with me." Now, there might. Getting married won't solve it. But being single doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with you. See, if you see yourself as a half a person, you'll be looking for half a person. And because you don't believe you're Miss Right, you'll never find Miss Right. You'll settle for Mr. All Right and Mr. Okay. If you see yourself as Miss Three Quarters, you'll just look for a quarter of a man. If you see yourself as Mr. 5/8, you'll be looking for a Miss 3/8. Or you'll do this. If you've been taught you are a whole, but you're just a rotten, low-down, no-good scoundrel of a person, you'll feel you're a zero, you're a nothing. And you'll be trying to find Mr. Perfect. Because if one Mr. Perfect could be added to you, nothing, together y'all would make one. And that's the problem. Bottom line, when we get down to what's troubling most marriages, it's this. The man or the woman feels like they didn't marry the right person. I'm telling you right now as a single, it's time for you to discover who you really are. And if you cannot learn to live with you in solitude with God, you're going to struggle. The problem's not that you are single. The problem is there are some holes in your hole. And you need to take this time being single to work on the holes. Let God bring forgiveness and healing to you. For see, if you're single again, you got some baggage from that first relationship. You may need to forgive your former husband or wife and let God begin to heal you and make you whole. You may have come out of a bad home life and you may need to forgive your parents. You may need to forgive a sibling. And you need to let God begin to heal you. But you are a somebody. You are precious as a single before God. And Paul says, when it comes right down to it, you are more profitable for the kingdom than a married person is. And here's why. Because that married person has to devote part of their day to Chris and part of their day to Christy. But you have the privilege as a single to devote all of your day to Christ. Amen? This is why, as a single, you need to live where you are, with who you are, for Christ. John Stott, a guy who greatly influenced Great Britain with the gospel, lived his life single. C.S. Lewis lived single to retirement, and then in retirement met a lady who he married. While he was single, he wrote the great Chronicles of Narnia. Jesus, the last time I checked, lived his life single. Paul lived most of his life, as far as we know, single. And you know what happens? You can live your life 100% for Christ. There is not a married man in here who lives all of his life for Christ. He can't. He has to live part of his life for his wife and part of his life for his kids. Is that not right, guys? But as a single man, you can live your whole life for Christ. You say, Brother Ricky, I may not. That's right. You're free at any time to be married. But while you are single, you can live 100% of your time for Christ. John Stott says there's two great temptations that face every single. The first one is sexual temptation. The second one is self-centeredness. Can I just address the first one with you singles? As a single Christian, you must believe this. Sex was designed for two people in marriage, not two people in love. Amen? And Paul says, when you get to that place that you're burning with passion, every time you see a female, you better get married. If you don't have self-control, you better marry, because it's better to marry than to walk around on fire. But I want to say this to you. As a Christian single, you need to see yourself this way, that your body belongs to God and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me say something to you. It's real important. Temple analogy reminds us of the Old Testament temple. Two primary parts, outer court, inner court, right? Outer court, anybody could come in to a degree. Inner court, only an ordained man of God could go into. Only an ordained person. You need to see your relationship as a temple. You need to see your body, soul, spirit as a temple. And you have an outer court in which you are free to have social relationships with different kinds of people. But you need to see a certain part of your body and a certain part of your psyche, your personality, as being the inner court. And you need to see it divided into a holy place and a holy of holies. And you need to understand this. Only certain people who are ordained by God can enter into the holy place. But no one, but one person, can go into your Holy of Holies. Now, you're understanding what the Holy of Holies is, right? There are places in your spirit, there are places in your psyche, there are places in your physical body that are your Holy of Holies. And they are reserved for one person, the high priest of your life. And if you're a wife, that's your husband. If you're a man, that's your wife. And you need to have a veil over certain parts of your body and certain parts of your mind. And that veil should say to whoever you're with, who you believe could be, you need to say to that person, you will never enter into the Holy of Holies until that day we stand before God. And when we stand before God and He says we are one, then and only then will I invite you in to my Holy of Holies. and we will celebrate together our salvation in Christ. Amen. But until then, you put the do not enter sign up. And ladies and men, the way you dress and the way you talk and the way you act with people should say there's a part of you that's off limits. Amen. But then there's the temptation to be self-centered. See, as a single, you can wake up every morning and not have to think, what does my wife want to do today? What do I need to do with the kids today? You can wake up every morning and think, wow, what are me and God going to do today? But there's a temptation for you to wake up and to believe that every moment of the day is yours and you can live for yourself. And that's really what's wrong in most of our marriages. We got too many people waking up in the morning and they're living for self instead of Christ. But as a single, you can give your time, you can give your talents, and you can give your treasures to the Lord without any distractions. And you can make the kind of difference as a single that a married person can't. Because see, a married woman has to think about Chris and a married man has to think about Christy, but all you got to think about is Jesus Christ. You live where you are, with who you are, for Christ. Amen. Father, thank you for this time with your church. Help us as a church give godly advice based on the Bible to our singles. And as much as we might desire marriage for all of those who are single because we want them to have what we want, we must understand God's plan might be different. While marriage worked at me at 19, it may not work for someone else till they're 30 or 27 or 25. And for some here, they may live a life totally without having to care for another husband or wife so that they can give all of their time, all of their talents, and all of their treasures for the sake of the kingdom. Thank you, God, for those you have blessed in the area of singleness. And do not let our singles see this as a time of curse, but let us see this as a time when you're getting them ready. Not for the rest of their life, but you're just getting them ready to be who you've designed them to be, and that's to be like Christ. And help our singles get away from a destination theology and let them understand it's about the journey. So let us enjoy and them enjoy every day with you. In no way does this passage elevate one state over another, but it lists two states that are honorable to you, God, and that's singleness and being married. In your name we pray. Amen.